the James Suckling Podcast. Wine ratings, reports, interviews, and more.
Hey, how's Barossa? Is it getting cold now?
We finished last week, last Thursday, so it's a really late season. And
wow.
It's everything was late. Budburst was late, Verazon was late. And really just getting going. We pretty well were a month late in the whole cycle of everything that took place. But that's very much on the back of 3 years of La Nina. And so yeah. 21, 22, 23 have all had similar wet springs, wet second half of winter, and then very mild summers. So we didn't, you know, we're used to getting one day over 40, you know, for a few days in a row. We got one of those this growing season. So it's been wow. very cool, slowed things down. And the rainfall meant that yields were good without being over the top. And that just put a little bit of extra burden on the plants, which then took them a little longer to ripen.
So long hang times then, long.
Long hang times. So we finished on the 11th of May, which is wow. pretty insane. And that was mainly Northern Barossa fruit and Eden Valley Shiraz. So
exciting.
So the colours are incredible. That's probably the first thing about 23 vintage is the intensity and hue of the colours is just unbelievable. And the really long hang time has taken a lot of fruit into quite a dark spectrum where there's lots of sort of aniseed, dark cherry, dark plum coming through. So really complex wines that are then underpinned with amazing acidity from the cool year. So we've got three times the malic levels in the reds that we would normally have. So we're going to have huge conversions over the winter when the wines tick away through Malo in barrel. And that's, for me, always a good indicator of great things to come.
What about how are the alcohols?
Alcohols are low. Like, we're getting colours.
Yeah.
The colours are coming along and, you know, we've got wines at 13. Pretty unheard of for us. Very, very different. But we don't pick on alcohol. We pick on colour and flavour. And so when the wine's got it, we're happy. So it's pretty insane what we're seeing.
Wow, I can't wait to taste them. Those sound pretty awesome.
Really composed wines. The whites, you know, that's a really tiny part of what we do. It's only about 3%. Mm-hmm. But amazing canopies. So, and with not a hot season, there's incredible freshness, really good greens in the wines. And, yeah, really pleased with the way they're coming together in barrel now.
How is 22 then compared to 23?
Yeah, so 22, every year from 21 has just become a little bit later. So it's really interesting. And 22 was also, once again, a late year, but where mm-hmm. we probably got going in the second and third week of March in 22, we got going in essentially the first week of April in 23. But once again, a mild summer, not hot, and healthy yields through the district, so nice balance in the vineyards, and that's really showing in the wines.
And you were already moving to, well, in the last like 4 years or 6 years, you've already been moving to much more balanced wines anyway. So like you said, it was never about alcohol.
No, so we're trying to find, you know, flavor at lower alcohols or generating the flavor or physiological maturity that we want to see is very much about the yield on the vine and keeping those mm-hmm. low and keeping the intervention in the vineyard very low and basically, you know, asking the plant to not work as hard and not have to actually ripen as many bunches. And from that, we get fruit that doesn't collapse, it doesn't spike in alcohol, and you get a much thicker skin, and we get that phenological stability of seed tannin and skin tannin, which basically sets the wines up for longevity and also the textural element that our wines are renowned for.
But at one time, there was a real trend for super low yields, probably too much where then you would get really, you know, like more concentration. So it's really about balance, right?
We're trying to find that really nice sweet spot in each soil type and each location that we're sourcing from, where we can really push intensity but retain freshness. So we're working very hard to not want to see dead fruit characters or raisinated characters come through from the wines in the vineyard. And, you know, we don't shy away. We're trying to make a full-bodied style. That's what Torbrek's about. But it's about delivering that in a very beautiful way that has the power, the texture, but the wines feel silky and svelte and not necessarily chewy and bony.
Also, you guys are real specialists of old vines too. So with this sort of strategy, do you think that your wines from your old vines are, you know, they can show more old vine character?
So it's absolutely, you know, the last 3 years we've really seen, I guess, the pedigree of those old vineyards. We're over 20% of our fruit's in excess of 100 years of age. It's an amazing, amazing resource that we're working with. And, you know, these are tended not organically but sustainably, and it's really, we just run very simple regimes in the vineyard, and our climate allows us to have a very low intervention practices. And in a year like this, you see, well, in the extreme years is probably the best way to describe it. In the extreme years, you see the benefits of what old vines can do because of their root structure, because of their carbohydrate resource, because of the architecture of the vine. They are more resilient, and we tend to see these more established vineyards get greater results for us on the tasting bench. And that's certainly translating in what we've seen in the last 3 years.
And your oldest vines are what were planted what year?
So circa 1850. So three of those vineyards are owned by Torbrek, and three of those vineyards are family grown vineyards from growers who supply us. And, you know, this is one of the incredible things about the Barossa that is perhaps not understood globally, but you know, this is a home to some extraordinarily old vineyards that have been tended by the same families for seven or eight generations. And, you know, they've been here since settlement.
Your family actually has
Our family has vineyard. Our oldest vines are 80 years old. So
only 80. Okay, I'm leaving.
We're not in the big league. we're not in the big league, but we've got 80 year old Grenache, which is pretty special in its own right.
Yeah. I love seeing them. They're such beautiful, like, creatures.
The gnarly sort of characters that they have, and they're beautiful to photograph and beautiful to paint, but more fun to make wine with.
And interestingly, they actually produce a decent crop. It's not like it's just two bunches, right?
Yeah. So the plant itself is, you know, if it gets enough water and it gets sunlight, and there's, you know, they don't actually need a lot of nutrition. They're very resilient creatures, and you know, you just look after them and keep the disease out of them, and they'll just keep going. And our expectation is not to actually see these vineyards be pushed and have massive yields or anything like that. So most of our target yields are around about 1 to 1.5 tons per acre. So pretty low. So the 12 to 15 hectolitres per hectare is what we're working on. And that, you know, for us, that's sustainable. It makes a wine that will achieve our desired flavour and colour profile. And we can pay a bit more for the grapes that we purchase from families. And everyone can, you know, the cycle of life can continue. So it's really important for me that our growers are sustainable, and the way that we grow plants are sustainable as well in what we try to achieve. So when your target is to be lower from the beginning and not to need a very high yield or anything like that, it's actually a more sustainable business model for actually setting up your targets.
And you don't have any you don't have large issues with virus or anything like that? I mean,
the main issue in our area is Eutypa, which basically is it's like a cancer for vines, but through careful pruning and management, you can actually work that through the plant and actually prune that out of the plant by being pretty clever about how we prune. We still hand prune all our vineyards and hand pick them, and that's very much part of our DNA in sort of a handmade wine.
How long do you think these vines can keep going?
Well, arborists will tell you there's no reason for them to die if they get sunlight. Whoa. Sunlight, nutrition, and water. And we certainly see that. And it's interesting because in really, really old vines, you see, you know, white ants will actually eat the dead tissue and leave the living tissue, and the plant will just continue to push fresh shoots and go again. So, you know, it's people reckon after Armageddon, cockroaches are going to be around. I reckon Barossa Shiraz is going to be the thing that's left. You can't stop this stuff. It just keeps going. So
that is awesome.